Okay, it's great to be here, and I have something exciting. I actually have a financial relationship to disclose. As you heard, I was for 25 years, I was actually worked for a firm called WRT in Philadelphia. I'm a planner and landscape architect by training, so you'll see some work that I'm going to show in this presentation that was done by WRT. As you heard, I have recently took a job starting July 1 as research director for the American Planning Association, which is a nonprofit, member-based organization, 40,000 planners in this country and abroad. And as a research director, there are three centers that our research is focused on. You heard one is planning community health, also green communities and hazards planning. And this topic of green infrastructure really spans all three, and all three actually obviously have to do with public health as well. So I'm going to focus on green infrastructure. What I'm going to cover is what is green infrastructure, and I'm going to actually draw on one of the products of APA, which is a report I co-authored called Green Infrastructure, a Landscape Approach. So it's a PAS report that came out in January. I'm going to talk about the connection to public health. I'm going to give a case study of work that, as I mentioned, is done in Philadelphia that WRT participated, and some brief thoughts and closing implications for public health professionals. So getting started here, what is the definition of green infrastructure? There are two definitions that are really kind of prevalent, have developed over the years. The first was first by the Florida Greenways Commission at the state or regional level, an idea of an interconnected network of natural areas and open spaces. You can see, I'm not going to read it up there, became really prevalent. The Conservation Fund promoted this. So over the years, that was the original definition. More recently, you may have heard of green stormwater infrastructure, which is really promoted by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And that's about systems and practices of stormwater management at a smaller scale that address stormwater management using natural processes. And so people talk about these almost interchangeably. What we did in that report that I referenced was try to think about bringing these two definitions together as a continuum across scales of practice and also across disciplines of practice. And I just want to emphasize a couple of points of this definition that comes from that report. First is connecting the built natural environments, and second, the benefits that green infrastructure brings for people and wildlife together, flora and fauna across and ecosystems across scale. So you can see from region to neighborhood, even to the building scale. So just what does that mean in concrete terms? Just to give you a few examples of green infrastructure to regional scale, you know, natural preserves, farms and forests, corridors, river corridors. The city or municipal scale, the urban forest tree canopy is a very important component of green infrastructure, urban parks, parkways, and boulevards. And getting to the smaller scale, the area scale, local parks, green streets, you may have heard of, constructed wetlands, that's the wetland stormwater management treatment of Philadelphia Park, and down to the site and building scale, stormwater planters, green roofs, rain gardens, etc. So the connection to public health. APHA is actually my third professional organization. I mentioned I started at ASLA, now I'm at APA. And one of the things that drew me to this profession was this mission statement, the public health, which I found online. And I'm really fascinated by this connection. And to me, this is something planners and designers and public health professionals can come together about, creating conditions in which people can be healthy. And green infrastructure can contribute to this mission. So just a few, I'm going to go through basic examples of how this can be done. First of all, can improve environmental conditions, air and water quality that impact human health, the environmental determinants of health. We're all familiar with these, but these are things that, think about how green infrastructure can do these things. It can encourage walking, biking, other forms of physical activity. It can improve mental health by bringing people into contact with nature, and there's a lot of growing evidence around these around this effect. It can increase safety through design. And finally, the social determinants of health. It can reduce disparities in health outcomes for poor and marginalized communities, And I think there's a lot of potential to work in this area to bring green infrastructure into those communities. There have been some papers and other things that have been written promoting this concept. And that's one reason why EPA is so interested in it. And of course, you know, I've gotten into APHA over the last few years. My public health people tell me, evidence-based. So you got to have evidence. What is the evidence for these contributions? And I'm going to get into a little bit of that. But first, in terms of framing the idea of the benefits of green infrastructure, I like to use the construct of the sustainability, the triple bottom line, environmental, economic, and social return on investment in green infrastructure. So this is rephrasing some of those, I'm timing myself here just to make sure I'm going okay. This is reframing some of those benefits I mentioned earlier in terms of the triple bottom line: improved air and water quality, economic, reduced healthcare costs, and social benefits. And this diagram here is from a project in Philadelphia. I'll come back to you later a few minutes. Philadelphia Green Plan. So in thinking of those, there's a lot of growing evidence and studies that have been done in these different areas. I thought I'd just touch on a few of these for you. First of all, in terms of improved air quality, there was a study that was done for Baltimore City parks on temperatures. This is countering the urban heat of island effect. You can see as much as 5 degrees cooler during the day and 13 degrees cooler at night in the parks than the surrounding center city. But the interesting thing is how far those benefits extended outside the park. So you can see even at night, that's a tremendous impact. Trust for Public Land did a study of vegetation in Philadelphia parks in terms of the services they provide in the air pollution removal. Economic benefit, recreation. There was a study that was done by the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia in terms of recreation benefits are substantial for Southeast Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. But look at the figures in terms of reduced medical costs, lost productivity costs, $1.3 million savings annually, economic benefits. And social benefits, there's been actually a lot of study that's been done. Some of you may be familiar in terms of decreased domestic violence, increased school performance associated with green space and green infrastructure, for example, around schools. Here's an example that was done in Philadelphia by RWJF program in terms of 13,000 fewer cases of mood disorders such as depression through interactions with nature. And I couldn't resist putting this one in. This is one I found recently from Psychological Science. Greater happiness from access to green space. So if you read between the lines of these figures, apparently the most important factor is having a job, and being married is second to that, which may make sense if some of you are both. But not far behind that was access to green space in urban areas. So this particular article was, would you be happier living in a greener urban area? So I'm now going to shift gears and talk about Philadelphia as an example of green infrastructure applications. You'll recall I started out talking about these two different definitions. One is sort of the citywide or regional open space network. The second is green stormwater infrastructure. And Philadelphia has developed plans and is implementing initiatives. They're really connected. They've brought these two together. And what these plans are, one is I refer to it as Green Plan Philadelphia, which is the city's citywide open space green infrastructure plan. The second, which has really been groundbreaking, is called Green City Clean Waters. Philadelphia, like many other urban areas, has a real problem with CSO, combined sanitary and sewer overflow systems. So what happens is they've all drained to their sewage treatment plants, which is fine during normal weather, but when you have significant storms, they overflow and they dump raw sewage into the Delaware and Schuylkill River. So a long process with EPA. Other cities in dealing with this problem have constructed huge underground storage tanks. Philadelphia convinced EPA not to make them do that. It would have ripped the historic city apart. Instead, to do green infrastructure throughout the city, which relates very much to Green Plan Philadelphia. So let me talk about Green Plan Philadelphia quickly. This harkens back to William Penn, who founded Philadelphia and there's an image of Philadelphia. He saw it as a green country town, which will never be built and always be wholesome. He said that back in whenever, the 1600s, when he founded it. So Green Plan Philadelphia kind of is going back in that direction, the idea of integrating green infrastructure into the fabric of the city. I'm going to just hit on some key elements, green elements and places, and also the network of benefits that green infrastructure brings around this idea of the triple bottom line. So the elements of green places, trees, stormwater management tools, the things I've been mentioning, wetlands, urban agriculture and community gardens, these are things that can be used to bring green infrastructure into the city and create green places. So it's not just parks and recreation spaces. You'll see some examples of this, green schoolyards, opportunities to green vacant land, green streets, et cetera. So these are sort of the building blocks of Green Plan Philadelphia. And here are the benefits that they bring. Again, the triple bottom line. You know, I'm going through this quickly, but I hit on these before. The environmental aspect, clean air, economy, the green quality of life, which are some things that, you know, public health professionals really work with directly. But, you know, I would argue basically all these benefits contribute to improving quality of life. So just another point on Green Plan Philadelphia is the idea of access to green infrastructure. Over my career, I've done a lot of work in parks and open space system planning, and we look at, you know, how can you get people walking or have access to parks and playgrounds? So this was a level of service diagram from the plan based on people living within a half-mile walk of a park or playground, and if so, you know, how much capacity does that park have to serve those people? So you can see served and underserved areas, and just connect that back to the slide I saw earlier on the sort of the happiness index or benefits of parks, of having access to parks in your neighborhood and what that can do for you. So they're looking to expand this access in Philadelphia. I mentioned about Green City, Clean Waters, that it's their plan for managing stormwater, primarily using green infrastructure. Again, this was groundbreaking because it's a new approach that EPA is permitting, and it's around this idea, again, of triple bottom line benefits. And one thing that the plan did is it did a cost-benefit analysis and actually quantified these in monetary terms, which is really important to advance these kind of concepts. So the study found that after 40 years, the program's projected to generate over $2 on every dollar invested. And you can see some of these just examples of where these benefits come from in terms of jobs, reduced fatalities from excessive heat, water quality, et cetera. Now, what I'm going to do in this sort of closing set before my last slide is just take you through some visualizations of what green infrastructure is going to look like in Philadelphia and how that fits into a, really an old urban historic fabric. So this is a typical street in Philadelphia before. This is what it looks like afterwards. And this is, by the way, this is not just a visualization or a pretty picture. You see all those underground pipes. The idea was it needed to be demonstrated that these kind of improvements, street tree plantings, stormwater infrastructure, pedestrian and sidewalk improvements, could be accommodated without disrupting the existing utilities under the street. Otherwise, it would be too expensive to do. So here's another one. This is a schoolyard. Does anyone see the sign on the building? It's a McDonald's. I'm not sure how that got on. It's right next to the school, I guess. But that's a before. Here's an after view. And Green Schoolyards is one of those green places I talked about. And actually, the Trust for Public Lands has a field office now in Philadelphia where they're working with the city to develop green schoolyards. The next one, oops, I jumped the gun here. This is a Philadelphia neighborhood before. After, with things like, you know, street trees, green roofs, solar installations. Here's an alley, typical alley in Philadelphia before. Here's what it could look like afterwards with, you know, improvements. And think about the recreational benefits that this would bring, access right outside your door. And just finishing with this shot of the city looking towards the Delaware River before and the visualization of what it could look like afterward as that green country town that William Penn talked about. So I think I'm pretty good on time, and I'm going to just end with a few implications to leave with you as public health professionals is how you can get involved in green infrastructure, some of the things you can do. The first is to engage with other professionals. Oh, before I do that, how am I doing on time, Sarah? Oh, I'm perfect, yeah, because I did want to back up here, and I'm going to go back to this particular slide. You know, these are pretty pictures and visualizations, but the city has been implementing these, and this is progress as of April 2012 when the EPA approved this plan, and there's been a lot more progress since, and I need to update these figures. But at that point, they had more than 65 green roofs installed on city buildings, 44 more planned, 32 green street blocks have been built by the city. By the end of 2012, last year, they were going to start, had construction expected to start on 215 more blocks. 15 parks had been transformed with new trees, rain gardens, or underground basins to retain and store rainwater. And 6 city schools have been green. And there is one, the Kensington Creative and Performing Arts Center, that had a green roof, infiltration basin, tree trenches, rain gardens, porous pavement, all sorts of just really retrofitted, transformed in the image of that of the slide I showed you earlier. So now I will conclude and talk about implications. How can public health professionals get engaged in this idea of green infrastructures? So the first is engage with all the other professionals, agencies, and departments that are out there involved in green infrastructure planning and design. And I can tell you that as professional organizations, APA, ASLA, ULI, AICP, USGBC, they're all looking to public health right now, and they're all looking to partner with public health professionals. And green infrastructure, parks and recreation, I should mention as well, is an area in which you can do this. And the public works and the utilities folks are coming in this direction of green infrastructure. The second is to seek what we call APA in planning processes, look for the strategic points of intervention to leverage these public health benefits of green infrastructure. So the plans that are being developed, comprehensive plans, green infrastructure plans, open space plans, transportation plans, and here I think there's a really real ripe area here for applying HIAs as a tool to look at green infrastructure. There are some that are starting to be developed. EPA is sponsoring one or two, looking at health benefits and impacts of green of green infrastructure, and then how that impacts policy and program development and capital investment. Bring green infrastructure and public health together in all these different processes. And the finally is developing evidence for improved health outcomes from investment in green infrastructure. This is really important. I showed some example where this is being done, but it needs to be demonstrated to policymakers and decision makers that this is a better investment of public funds or funds and private development community than gray infrastructure, which is actually often more expensive. So look for opportunities as green infrastructure projects are being formed to set up hypotheses, you know, and then track, set up baseline and track the evidence in terms of some of the factors that I talked about earlier in terms of green infrastructure's impact on improved health outcomes. And with that, I think we're ready for the next. Thank you.